Lewis Pryor walked toward Jake Coke from across the camp.
Damn, Coke, you beat that man senseless.
Well, you saw it, Pryor. He brought the fight to me. I wasn't looking for it.
Yeah, I know. I got no complaints. I'm glad to have you riding with me. I think some of my boys are wondering where you stand, though. They were a little skittish of you anyway. You haven't been a lawman and a bounty hunter. After seeing you beat the crap out of Big Joe, they don't know what to think. Neither do I, to be honest.
Really? What do you want me to do?
Well, it wouldn't hurt if you said something, you know, just to let them know you're one of us.
Hey, Romans! Hey, Kendall! Think we ought to be friends?
Romans and Kendall looked at each other, then back at Coke with blank expressions.
What about you, Hearns? You want to make up and be pals?
Hearns slowly shook his head no and kept staring at him.
You still wanting to kill me?
Hearns nodded yes, his expression unchanged. Coke spread his hands in a show of submission.
All right then. What if I write a nice letter to your daddy? Tell him it was all a mistake about the bell.
The three men walked forward and stopped 3 feet from Coke and Lewis Pryor. Bo Romans cocked his head to one side.
I gotta know one thing, Coke. Why the hell did you beat him so bad when he was hung up in the tree?
Well, big sucker like that, once you get to beating on him, it's hard to stop.
Well, ain't that the truth?
When Howell and the 8 gunmen riding with him had blown into the Rosa Negra 3 days earlier from the Mexican desert flatland, the owner, Juan Jarea, had met them at the open stone doorway. Nervously wringing his hands, Juan Jarea had welcomed the men and presented his new establishment the way an artist might present a newly completed portrait. Juan had explained that La Rosa Negra Posada was his lifelong dream, a creation of his own hands. The inn was the largest, the newest, and perhaps the grandest drinking, eating, and lodging establishment west of Juarez. Yet, as Denton Howell, Max Shepard, and the others looked around the elaborate surroundings, Howell dropped a cigar stub to the shining tile floor and crushed it out with his dirty boot heel.
The Black Rose Inn, huh? I don't see nothing black about it.
Where's Henny Rose?
Max Shepard was looking around, slapping dust from his chest with his hat brim.
Oh, just one more beaner flea trap, far as I can see.
Joe Cherry stepped out from the other riders and slung his rifle down on the polished stone bar top.
Where's all the whores? Where's all the mescal? Where's a man to get a bag of something he can stuff up his nose?
Howell gave Juan a menacing look, snatching him by his shirt.
I better warn you now. I don't eat goat, old man. And I don't eat nothing that grows from the ground or hangs from a tree. Anything goes into my belly has to have been alive at some time or other. Comprende?
By the end of the first day, women had shown up from a brothel in town. Their pimp had brought with him a large carved wooden box filled with the powerful derivative of the cocoa plant. Later that night, when the pimp had not returned to town, the woman who ran the brothel had ridden out to La Rosa Negra and inquired about him. But the men leaning along the wet, sand-streaked bar had only shrugged. They didn't know. By the end of the next day, a whore had left the Rosa Negra with a broken leg and a fork prong lodged in her hip. A family's pet milking cow had been reported missing from a nearby stable. 2 other young whores had battered one another bloody and senseless in a fist fight. 30 yards behind the inn, buzzards began to circle above a pile of sandstone and loose boards. For no apparent reason, a checkered tablecloth had burst into flames. Fire streaked up the side of the dining room wall. The men put out the fire by pelting the wall with bottles of wine and contents of a brass spittoon. Juan Herrera moved his wife out of their living quarters, taking temporary refuge in a tool shed out back. Now, on the third night, Denton Howells stood on the stone walk outside of La Rosa Negra Posada. Howell gazed out at the band of riders coming in from the east in a low cloud of dust as he spoke to Juan Herrera.
You worry too much, Juan. I can see where you might very well develop stomach problems running this kind of business.
Juan Herrera turned and ran back inside. Denton Howell kept his eyes trained on the coming riders.
Juan, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Howell turned to one of the windows above him, where broken shards of glass still clung to the frame, and where the shattered remnants of a wooden chair lay in a heap on the long, clay-tiled roof.
Joe, you up there?
Joe Cherry stuck his disheveled head through the broken window, the pimp's carved wooden box tucked under his arm.
Yeah, I'm here. What?
Put your drawers on and get on out here. Bring the boys with you. Looks like Priest and Mecklenburg's coming. Let's make 'em welcome.
Denton Howell leveled his gun belt. In a few minutes, the men sauntered out, some of them taking their gun belts down from their shoulders and strapping them on, others stuffing their shirt tails down into their trousers. Juan Herrera rushed out behind them and over to Denton Howell.
Por favor, let there be no shooting, por favor.
Damn it, Juan, you're the most worrying man I've ever seen. These are friends of ours, ones I told you we'd be meeting. Now get yourself back inside, and you and your wife can clean this pigsty up a little. I don't mind telling you, the place has grown rank as hell.
Looking back at La Rosa Negra, Hal shook his head in disgust at the sight of Max Shepard's big roan gelding stepping out through the wide, arched doorway.
Shit, I give this place 6 months at best.
Joe Cherry stepped out beside Denton Howell and held a cupped hand in front of him.
Here, suck this up.
Denton Howell looked down at the small mound of powder in Cherry's palm.
Get that away from me, I got better sense.
Yeah, I recall seeing you once raise a goat up a flagpole outside of Mexico City, blowing this stuff up your nose.
That's why I've got better sense. Save it for Tuck Priest. He might appreciate a little upturn after all that time in jail.
I still don't see why we're getting back in with Priest. We've been doing all right without him. You got something in mind, don't you?
Denton Howell didn't answer. Instead, he took a step forward and watched the riders draw closer in the evening light. He looked back past Joe Cherry at the seven others who stood abreast on the stone walk of La Rosa Negra Posada. Max Shepard had collected the reins to his big roan gelding and pulled the horse over to his side. Next to Max Shepard stood Philip Oates and Monty Osborne. To their left stood Eli Drake, Little Bit Collier, and Buddy Raines. Off to the side stood the half-breed Buck Dahoney. The group looked haggard and sodden from 3 days and nights of drinking and whoring.
Boys, look sharp now. Let Priest know he's getting the best. Any of you that ain't rode with Los Pistoleros before, you're getting ready to meet the man who helped start it all.
Nearing La Rosa Negra, Rance Mecklenburg turned to J.T. Priest riding close beside him. For the past 2 days, Priest had been quiet and sullen.
Doing all right, boss?
I'm all right.
R. Martin Swan was once again riding double behind J.T. Priest. The mule Swan had been riding never recovered as it should have from the blast of dynamite. Once across the Rio Grande, Priest had stuck a pistol in the young attorney's hand and forced him to put the poor animal out of its misery. Swan flopped back and forth behind Priest like a bundle of rags.
That's safe, ain't it? Still on your mind?
I put the safe out of my mind the minute we left there. I know where it's at when we want it.
They were about 20 yards from the inn.
Ever been to Sonora before, Swanny boy?
No, but I've always thought I'd...
Well, you're there now.
Welcome. Is this all the men you brought?
I left 3 men back in Texas to take care of some federal deputies. But I got others coming. Roundhouse Eddie and Pete Lambertus are bringing Sims' woman, Kate McCorkle, with them. She ought to make for some good sport.
Who's this little strip of skin?
Joe Cherry pointed a thumb toward R. Martin Swan.
This is my brilliant young attorney, R. Martin Swan. If it hadn't been for him and his colleagues, my neck would be 7 inches longer right now. Hey, this place looks brand new. But I see you boys have made yourselves at home.
Oh, hell, you know us. We're at home anywhere we go. Try some of this. It'll get your hooves pounding.
Cherry shook his closed hand back and forth.
Maybe after a while. I want to say howdy to everybody first.
As Priest stepped past Cherry to the others, Rance Mecklenburg followed, looking down at Joe Cherry's closed hand with a dark expression.
I see nothing's changed with you.
Nothing needs to. Want to suck it up?
Get away from me, Cherry. We're here to talk some business. I keep that stuff to yourself.
We'll talk business once we get to Diablo Canyon. Meanwhile, I'll do as I damn well please.
Mecklenburg gave a grim look of disapproval and walked away behind Priest and Hal into La Rosa Negra Posada. R. Martin Swan just stood staring, frightened, unable to conceal it.
You better stick with me, lawyer boy. This stuff will eat you up for supper.
That stuff, what does it do for you?
Joe Cherry jiggled the leather bag on his chest while holding Swan close against his side. Swan smelled sour breath full of mezcal and the recent sickness that usually came with it.
This stuff, my God, man, this stuff is home to the homeless, religion to the sinner, and hell to a soul in peril.
Cherry pulled the reluctant R. Martin Swan to the side, away from the others.
Come on, mi amigo Tuevo, I'll show you all about it.
After dark, when Juan Herrera's wife Soledad and her elderly cook's helper Maria hadn't prepared the food as quickly as Denton Howell and some of the others felt they should have, some of the men threw lassos around the large stone and earth chimney out back and pulled it to the ground. Then they fed all the bundles of mesquite onto the open fire at once, along with armfuls of hay from the stables and furniture from the dining area. When the fire raged high into the night, so close to the rear wall of La Rosa Negra Posada that the coating on the structure's hand-carved facade and trim blistered and peeled from the heat, Joe Cherry stepped back with a bottle of mezcal hanging from his dirty fingertips.
By God, that's more like it!
Sparks spiraled and raced away on the wind as half of the freshly slaughtered milk cow lay on an iron slab grill. R. Martin Swan rubbed his sore and reddened nose, his eyes shining and crazed in the shimmering glow of the fire. Joe Cherry shoved the bottle of mezcal into Swan's hand.
Here, throw this back. It'll keep your teeth from grinding.
Off in a dark corner of the rear yard, Juan Perea, his wife, and their grown son, Lorenzo, stood watching in anger and humiliation as their lovely posada was pillaged before their eyes.
Papa, we must do something. I beg of you, let me get the rifle and chase these animals away from here. You did not build this place to be trampled beneath the hooves of pigs.
No, my son, I did not. But neither did I build it to be a place of sorrow. And that is what it will always be to me if you die here. I sent the old woman into town to bring back the alguacil. He will stop them.
The town constable? But he is old and frail and will do nothing. He will only anger them.
He will bring help with him.
What help, Papa? There are no federales in Sonora. They are off chasing the Apache.
We must have faith, Lorenzo. It is all we can do. These men will not stay long. They will soon go off to do the terrible things they do. Stay silent until this passes. We will repair what they destroy.
But at midnight, The town constable rode up out front of La Rosa Negra in a black open-top buggy. Three men with rifles in their hands stepped forward as he rose up from his seat.
Who are you, man? What is going on here?
The constable pulled back his wrinkled white linen suit coat, revealing a copper badge.
We're Los Pistoleros, Mr. Policeman. We're just having ourselves a little party, you might say.
Los Pistoleros?
Si, Los Pistoleros.
From the balcony on the far upper end of the building, J.T. Priest watched the buggy turn a circle on the walk stones and speed away into the night toward the lights of Sonora. Turning back to the soft candlelight, he picked up a wet towel from a porcelain water basin, wrung it out, and pressed it to his hot face. His nostrils were raw and throbbing from inhaling the powder Joe Cherry had given him before he'd retired upstairs with two young women in tow.
Come back to bed.
The woman lay naked in the small circle of soft light and patted a hand on the damp side of the bed where Priest had been lying. When J.T. Priest walked over, then only turned his back to her and slumped down on the side of the bed, he scooted over closer to him and drew a thin line down his spine with her fingertip.
What is wrong, mi gran amante hombre? Does my sister and I not satisfy you?
Great lover, man. You whores are the same everywhere. You ever wonder what $500,000 looks like up close in a pile, with both your hands buried in it?
No, I've never dreamed of so much money.
Earlier, when Priest had taken the brown powder, she'd watched just how it had affected him, the way she always watched men and what their eyes and actions said to her. He'd been a brute, making demands on her and her sister that only a man with much violence and madness would make. It had taken all their cunning and the skills of their profession to keep him from hurting them. Then, when the powder had begun to wear off, he'd been like a sick, brooding child. He had grown distant and wrapped in his thoughts. Now that his mind was settling, he would need to talk, to tell her things that she would listen to and agree with, even if she didn't want to hear, even if she didn't understand.
What do you know about anything? What could a whore ever know about what a man goes through? I was gonna hang last week. Bet you didn't know that. I was gonna hang because I killed a man and cut off his ears. That's all. Nothing more. It was no different than a string of ears I cut off a dozen other men over the past 20 years. But they didn't get to hang me. Not me. I was too much for them. Damn them all. You know what my downfall was? I loved a damn woman. I loved her so much, I stole her from another man. Hell, I stole everything else in life. What did it matter? I sent him to jail for a crime I committed. You think I give a damn about anything? Well, I don't. I never did. She'll show up here before long, that woman. And I'll kill her when I'm through with her. I'll kill her and that man she loves. The man she betrayed me for. They're both as good as dead right now.
Priest raised his face and looked over through the open balcony doors at the wide sparkling sky above the desert floor.
Shit. It's coming apart, though. I can feel it. There's money back there in a safe buried upside down 3 feet deep. I can feel that, too. And damn it, between the two, the money and the woman, I can feel it all coming apart on me.
He stood up, slung the towel down to his feet, picked up a black cigar, and walked naked back out onto the cool stone balcony floor. Priest studied the cigar's tip.
Get your sister up and both of you get out of here. Get out now or I'll kill you both.
As the two women scurried naked from the room, one of them managed to peel a blanket from the bed and throw it around herself. Priest looked down at the stone walk below to where R. Martin Swan ran, his arms spread wide toward heaven, buck naked save for his black necktie fluttering back over his shoulder.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper here amid the flood. Woo! Jesus Christ, I'm sailing! Hello, JT!
Damn you to hell, quick, Charlie Sims. Come on and get me. Come get me quick, Sims. Or so help me God, I'll kill her graveyard dead.
Priest stood in a drifting gray stream of cigar smoke, telling himself the safe was full of money, making himself believe it was there, and at the same time warning himself not to think about it. Sometime before the first sliver of light mantled the horizon, Priest watched R. Martin Swan walk back out of the blackness below in silence, his thin arms wrapped around his naked chest. Priest just shook his head and walked back inside the room. He stretched out across the bed, but he lay with his eyes wide open, staring down at the floor. Knowing sleep was not going to come to him, he sat up, reached for the small leather bag Joe Cherry had given him earlier, squeezing it to gauge its contents, then reached for his clothes hanging over a chair. Downstairs, Rance Macklenburg sat at the only table left standing in the wide dining room. He looked up as J.T. Priest walked toward him, past R. Martin Swan, who lay stretched out on the floor with his trousers back on but down around his knees. An old horse pistol lay on Swan's chest.
Is it time to go yet?
I'll tell you when, Swanny boy.
Couldn't sleep, boss?
No, not much. That damn Cherry and his powder.
You still thinking about that safe?
No, but you must be. It's all you've talked about since we left there.
It's a powerful lot of money. It's really in there. More than we could make in a long while, but provided we didn't have to share it with anybody else.
Yeah? It's even more if only one man had it all to himself.
No, that ain't what I was thinking, boss. Now, you know me better than that. I was just thinking maybe after Roundhouse and Lambertus get here, and you get settled with the woman and Sims, if Sims ever shows, that is.
Sims'll show, and I'll kill him.
And the woman, too?
I've been giving her some thought.
Well, I'm just saying, boss, once you get settled on things, we could figure out what to do about that safe. It won't blow, we've seen that. But maybe we'll find somebody who knows how to spin it open.
It's hard to find somebody like that. Where the hell's the owner of this shithole? Can we get some coffee over here?
The next afternoon, no one out front of La Rosa Negra Posada noticed the black dog when he slipped forward out of the wake of looming dust and sat 20 yards away for a moment, watching Jake Coke swing down from his saddle. Jake Coke caught a glimpse of Buster and resisted the urge to shoo him away. But when Coke helped Kate McCorkle down from the saddle and looked back toward where the dog had been sitting, Buster was gone.
You gonna be all right with this?
Just watch me.
Roundhouse Eddie walked up.
We'll take her now. Come on, then.
Roundhouse took a step back, giving her room to walk in front of him and Lambertus. Watching from beside their horses, Bo Roman spoke to Bob Hearns and Tommy Kendall.
You gotta admit, it took some gall, him telling them straight up that the woman was riding with him until we got here. Whatever else a person says about Jake Coke, he sure as hell ain't bashful.
Bob Hearns looked at each man, feeling better now that they had formed some sort of acceptance of Coke.
I hate to say it, but I might have been mistaken all these years about him.
Mistaken? You mean after all this time, maybe you was in the wrong?
Maybe.
Well, let's settle this once and for all. Did you or did you not steal that damn bell?
Let's put it this way. The bell ended up in my hand some way. I was young at the time. It ain't all that clear to me.
Well, shit! You've been packing a mad on over nothing.
Alright, maybe I have. But I'm over it now. If he's good with you fellas, he's good enough for me.
Hearn stepped toward La Rosa Negra, seeing Priest and the others file out and join Joe Cherry on the stone walk.
Come on, let's meet the gang.
After the fight with Big Joe Macon the other night, and after Romans and Kendall had given in and become more friendly with Jake Coke, Hearns had managed to get Coke to the side and let him know where he stood. While the others had gathered around a water hole, Hearns had revealed to Coke that he was indeed working undercover for the Pinkerton Detective Agency. He'd been working his way in with Lewis Pryor in hopes of it leading him to Los Pistoleros.
I figured as much.
In the few moments they had alone, Coke let him know the whole story about J.T. Priest, about Hart, Roth, and Sims being on the trail.
So, we're not going to be by ourselves for long. Just be ready to take them down when the time comes.
I'm ready. Only one thing I need to tell you. I usually work alone.
So does everybody else I've run into lately.
I don't share rewards with anybody.
You always was one of my favorite students. We'll settle up when the time comes.
Hearns thought about it now, looking around at the faces out front of La Rosa Negra Posada. There was more at stake than just the reward money, but the reward money couldn't be dismissed. Before him stood the same faces he'd seen in the new Rogues Gallery files at the Chicago office. He'd spend night after night studying these same faces assembled before him. He'd committed them to memory. And now, as he saw him in the flesh, his mind began clicking, putting together the particulars of each man's crimes and the price on their heads. As he added dollars in his mind, he caught a glimpse of Coke looking at him and wondered for a second if Coke wasn't doing the same thing. Then his attention was drawn to Kate McCorkle as Pete Lambertus gave her a slight shove forward, and J.T. Priest caught her by the shoulders.
Well, just looky here. My old long-lost flame. My best old warm soft...
You son of a...
Kate's nail flashed across his face. Priest slung her around backward with one arm and held her pinned to him, his free hand going to the red scratch marks on his face.
Jesus! Why's her hands untied?
Priest glowered at Lambertus and Roundhouse Eddie, catching only a quick glance at Big Joe Macon's battered face, standing partly hidden behind him.
Ask him.
Lambertus jerked a thumb toward Jake Coke.
No, by God, I'm asking you!
Roundhouse Eddie Jenkins stepped forward.
We just figured you would want her comfortable as all, boss, knowing she used to mean something to you. All right. No harm done.
Priest nodded at Big Joe Macon.
What got a hold of his face?
Ask him.
Lambertus jerked his thumb a second time towards Jake Coke.
You stick that thumb at me again and watch you lose it.
Well, who the hell is he? And why must I ask him every damn thing?
Before Pete Lambertus could answer, Lewis Pryor moved forward.
These are my men, Priest. This is Bob Hearns, Bo Romans, Tommy Kendall, Jake Coke. Jake here joined up with us on the trail. These other heres have been with me a while.
I've heard of you, Coke. A lawman, ain't you? Or a bounty hunter?
Yeah, I used to be. Now I'm mostly looking for something to get into.
Want to turn outlaw, huh? Figure you're tough enough?
Coke nodded at Big Joe Macon.
Well, there's some reference if you want to see my work.
I never seen you in such a shape, Big Joe.
It ain't over with. Next time, I'll swear I'll take his head and pound it till his brains go.
See? That's all he did, was talk about what he was going to do.
Pryor, Coke is your man. Just keep him in line.
Well, what about him being a lawman?
Go fill your nose, Cherry. Hell, I was almost a congressman myself once. Now look at me.
I hope you didn't harm your gun hand any.
Never used it.
Boys, make yourselves at home for the day. This place is a dirty rag, but it's the best we got. Tomorrow we head out of here.
Priest turned with Kate still pressed to his chest.
Come on. You're coming with me.
No! Upstairs in the room, Priest shoved Kate to a corner and walked over and closed and locked the balcony doors. He turned to Max Shepard, who stood in the doorway, and nodded toward the hall.
Stay right out there, Max. I want some privacy.
You got it, boss.
As soon as the door closed, J.T. Priest turned to Kate McCorkle. She looked into his eyes.
Try it, and I'll kill you, J.T., so help me God, I'll kill you.
Kill me? You still don't get it, do you, Kate? This is my world now. You and your grifter boyfriend, Sims, made your run at me and you missed. If there's any killing here today, it'll be me doing it. Don't think you can't die, Kate.
Don't think we can't both die here, JT. I'm willing if you are. Let's get to it.
I can have you tied up.
Oh, that would be your style. I'm surprised you didn't think of it before, back when I was sharing your bed. Might have added something instead of it always being the same old, small little...
Don't, Kate.
Priest stood in silence for a moment, and Kate used the pause to look around the room, checking things out, weighing what move she might make if she had to.
Can I ask you one thing, Kate? Just the two of us here.
Why not? After all, it's your world now.
Why?
Why what?
You know what I'm asking, Kate. Why did you do it to me? Turn from me to quit Charlie Sims? I had everything then. It was yours, too.
My God, JT, you framed him for murder, for robbery. He was gonna hang. You only got me out of jail to win me over. I was just a bauble to you, something for you to dangle in front of your men.
That's not true, the bauble part. I had strong feelings for you, Kate, I did. All right, so he was gonna hang, but that would have been the end of it. You would have gotten over it in time. Then look what we could have had, the two of us.
Jesus, JT, listen to what you're saying. And you wonder why I turned back to Sims. I can't believe you're this crazy.
If I'm crazy, you drove me to it.
Look at you, JT. What have you been doing to yourself? You're drunk and sick and look like you haven't eaten in a month. I don't know what keeps you alive. I never did.
I wanted to talk some, Kate.
No, you didn't, JT. You didn't want to talk. You wanted me here, begging for my life. But I won't. You wanted me to beg for Charlie's life, but I don't have to. Guess what, JT? He's not coming.
He'll come. He knows I'll kill you if he doesn't show up.
That's just it, JT. Charlie doesn't know I'm here. He never saw the note Lambertus left behind. So there, you fool.
That means nothing. I planned for that. I sent two cowboys back to let him know. I'm sure they met him on the trail.
Well, they might have if they were on their way to New Orleans. I tried to tell your monkeys that was where he was headed, but no, they wouldn't listen. So to hell with all of you. Go on and kill me, JT, you stupid bastard. I'm all you're gonna get.
Once Quick Charlie Sims, Two Jack Roth, and Sullivan Hart had crossed the border, Sims stopped his horse and turned it crosswise in the trail. He looked back past Roth and Hart at the prisoner, Leonard Hurgo, who they had captured 2 days earlier as he and Huey Moss tried to ambush him. Huey Moss had died with his gun in his hand, but Leonard Hurgo had been sitting, quietly smoking a cigarette when the deputy surrounded him.
I think you two need to stay back here. This goes the way I got it planned. I'll bring J.T. Priest to you, I promise.
And if it doesn't go the way you got it planned?
It will, Hart. Gotta trust me. You heard what Hurgo said. Priest couldn't stand not getting into the safe. Now that he's had a few more days thinking about it, it's driving him loco. I can promise you that, too. Give me 3 minutes alone with him. He'll change his mind about everything if I open the safe for him.
Why don't we ride a little closer to Sonora with you, just in case you're wrong?
Because if we get too close to Sonora, we'll risk running into some of his men. or he might sight your tracks on the way back here. I can't take that chance. He's got to think I came alone.
I don't like it. What about you, too, Jack?
Sims does have a way of causing Priest to trip over his own boots.
Yeah, but...
Either we agree on doing this my way, or I'll bust on ahead and do it my damn self. You both know that. Why not go along with me for once? We're on the same side here.
I hope you know what you're doing, Sims. If you don't, Kate is dead. You too.
I know what I'm doing. And don't forget, I'll have Jake Coke there backing me if worse comes to worse.
Then get on out of here. We'll hold up along that high stretch of rock.
Thanks. Both of you. I won't let you down. Now just make sure Kate is riding with me and Priest before you spring any traps, all right?
We'll do our best, Sims. You can count on it.
Roth stepped forward, leading their spare horses.
Here, pick one or two. You'll need to put some long ground behind you.
Sims took the reins to two of the spare horses and without another word, turned and sped away in a rise of dust.
I've never seen him so shaken up.
Me neither. He sure loves that woman. I hope it's not going to get him killed.
In the middle of the night, Jake Coke slipped away from the others as they ate, drank, gambled, and danced and played with the whores in La Rosa Negra. Bob Hearns noticed him leave, but Hearns only glanced around making sure no one else had. Outside the inn, Coke eased into the darkness and crept along the adobe wall. Near the far corner of the building, Coke stopped and crouched down.
Good boy. How you holding up out there?
Coke ran his hands along Buster's gaunt flanks.
Not too poorly. Could be better.
He pulled the dog's face to his, hugged him, then turned him loose as Buster's dangling tongue made a swipe at his cheek.
As soon as this is over, we're gonna fatten you up. I know. I'll miss you too. Get back out there, Buster. We're still on the job.
Coke stayed crouched until the darkness engulfed the dog. Once Buster was out of sight, Coke raised up slightly, moved the rest of the way to the corner of the building, reached up, and pulled himself atop a low roof. Once up, he walked quietly up the half-round roofing tiles to where the low roof met the wall of the building. Moved along the wall to the edge and looked down 15 feet to the stone walk beneath him. He reached out with one hand and grasped the length of ornate metal trim running along the edge of the balcony. He shook the metal, testing it. Then he swung out on it with both hands and pulled himself up over the balcony rail and dropped down into a crouch. He listened for a moment to the silence to make sure he hadn't been heard. Then he moved over to the balcony doors and eased one of them open a few inches.
Kate, it's me, Jake.
Over here.
Coke slipped over in a corner beside her. He saw the handcuff around her right wrist attached to the iron frame of a tall oaken wardrobe. He also saw Kate close the razor in her hand and hide it back inside her blouse.
Kate, you all right?
Yeah, don't worry about me.
Kate nodded toward the door.
JT left a guard out there. You shouldn't be here.
I had to check on you.
Thanks.
Maybe this isn't a good idea. Maybe we should get you out of here, grab the horses, and go.
No. We're going to play this out. As long as Priest is alive, he'll be after Charlie, and I can't have that.
But
shh.
They both looked at the crack of light beneath the door. Even in the darkness, they saw the brass doorknob turn slowly. Max Shepard eased his head inside and looked over at the sleeping outline of Kate McCorkle in the corner. When Kate turned a sleepy face to him and pushed back a strand of hair, Shepard only nodded. Jake Coke eased back across the floor from beneath the bed.
I can't stand the thought of you up here.
Don't worry, JT won't bother me. We've already settled that.
Coke drew back an inch and looked into her eyes, not certain what she'd meant.
But I...
Kate's hand slipped gently over his mouth, stopping him.
I'm all Right. Now go.
Kate watched Coke move across the floor. Coke made his way back down to the lower roof, crept down to the edge, and lowered himself to the ground. No sooner had his boots touched the dirt than he felt the cold, solid jab of a pistol barrel to the back of his head.
Hold it right there!
Coke knew what Buster was about to do. Yet, in an instant, the sound of the paws stopped. Cherry sank to the ground.
Come on, Coke.
Bob Hearns grabbed Coke's arm and turned him around. Coke hesitated, looking around for the dog.
Dog's back there. Lucky he didn't take my leg off. Not Buster. He always knows. Don't ask me how, but he always knows.
The two men slipped away into the darkness.
How's she doing?
She's holding up good. I asked if she wanted to clear out of here, but she turned me down. She's a tough woman, that one. I admire her a great deal.
Yeah, I noticed.
They stopped and stood in the darkness, looking at the lights of the inn from 20 yards away.
It's none of my business, Jake. I'm here to do what I set out to do. I watch your back, you watch mine.
Well, that's good, because
But I've got to tell you, Jake, there's nothing can get a man into something over his head worse than a woman.
See, I knew you were going to make some remark.
Yeah, sorry, I won't mention it again.
Hearns nodded back toward the corner of the building where they had left Joe Cherry lying on the ground.
Did he get a look at your face?
No, I don't think so. He's so drunk and powdered up, I doubt he remembered anyway.
Let's hope not. And once we get out of here into Los Pistoleros' hideout, I say we put an end to this thing before something goes really wrong.
I had to see you, Bob.
I understand, Jake. Can't afford to take too many chances. Things are good for us right now, but these boys can turn deadly in a heartbeat. We both know that.
Thanks for covering me. Looks like I owe you one.
Good, I like that. Having you owe me one. I expect we'll both owe one another several before this is finished.
In the morning, the men drifted to the stone walk out front of La Rosa Negra, arriving one, two, and three at a time.
Move your asses! Get on over here!
Jake Coke held back, having risen from his spot on the ground near his dapple gray's hooves, and he rolled his blanket, deliberately taking his time, seeing Joe Cherry stagger in place beside Max Shepard, holding a wet towel to the back of his head. Coke instinctively loosened his sawed-off rifle in its holster, looking around at Bo Romans, Tommy Kendall, and Lewis Pryor, who had already started walking toward Shepard and the others.
Ain't you coming, Coke?
Yeah, I'm coming.
Coke pitched the blanket atop his saddle on the ground and turned, walking a few feet behind Lewis Pryor and Bo Romans.
Where's Hearns?
He's around here somewhere. Why? You don't have to watch your back anymore. He's not out to kill you.
I know, just wondering.
They walked on, seeing J.T. Priest step out through the arched doorway. Rance Mecklenburg stepped out behind him, pulling Kate McCorkle along by her cuffed hand. Max Shepard stepped forward.
All of you, listen up! Boss has something to tell you!
Men, last night somebody was prowling around outside my room. When Joe Cherry caught him sneaking back down from the roof, somebody got the drop on Joe and knocked him cold. We caught one of the men, but there's another one involved.
Coke glanced around, looking for Bob Hearns, not seeing him anywhere. He let his hand rest on the butt of his sawed-off rifle, and he waited, tense, as J.T. Priest turned back to the doorway of the inn.
Go drag him out here, Mac.
Coke winced at the sight of the swollen, bloody face as Mecklenburg turned Kate McCorkle loose, reached back inside the doorway, and jerked the rope tied around the blood-streaked neck of Lorenzo Herrera.
What?
Mecklenburg flung Lorenzo out onto the stone walk.
He won't admit to it, but we know it was him, don't we, Cherry?
Yeah, that's a sneaking bastard, all right. Now I want to get my hands on the man who did this to me. I figure it was his old man, Juan, since nobody seems able to locate Juan or his wife this morning. Was it your daddy? Huh? Was it?
Por favor. Por favor.
JT Priest reached down, grabbed Lorenzo by his hair, and pulled him up onto his knees.
I hate this kind of stuff before breakfast, don't you? I mean, after all, we're not animals. Finish him off, Joe.
Oh, my pleasure.
Lorenzo tried to raise his bloody, shaking hands to make the sign of the cross on his chest, but Joe Cherry kicked his hands away.
None of that last-minute religious stuff. You're going straight to hell if I've got any say-so. So long, Lorenzo.
Wait, wait!
The sawed-off rifle came up.
He didn't do it!
Oh, really now? And what makes you say that, Jake Coke?
Jake Coke pointed the rifle barrel toward Priest, catching the sight of hands going to pistol butts among the men as he readied his hand on the rifle lever.
1,000. 2,000.
You know why, Priest? Because it was me up on the roof.
4,000. 5,000.
Now let him go.
But Cherry and Priest only smiled. Behind Priest, Macklenburg pulled Kate McCorkle to one side and stood with his arm around her shoulders, as if using her as a shield.
Life's not that simple where I live, Coke. What exactly were you doing up there? Peeping into my room, no doubt?
That's right, Priest. I was peeping into your room. Now let the Mexican go. He didn't do anything.
Who was with you?
Nobody was with me.
Somebody hit Cherry from behind. Who was it?
Cherry was so drunk he couldn't hold his head up. He tried to grab me and almost fell. I cracked his head with my rifle barrel. If I wanted to, I could have killed him. It's still not too late.
Nice try, Coke. Now why exactly were you peeping into my room?
I wanted to see that the woman was all right, Priest. That's all. Can't you see she's gotten to me?
Do say. Kate, you naughty girl. Once again, someone has been smitten by your charm.
Go to hell, JT, you rotten, murdering bastard!
Well, it's certainly easy to see why she has such a lovely grace about her. Give me the rifle, Coke.
You know better than that, Priest.
Then the man you've gone this far to save is going to die anyway.
Priest raised a hand and held it toward Joe Cherry.
When my hand drops, Joe, let the hammer fall with it.
You got it, boss.
Cherry's. Steadied his gun hand toward Lorenzo's head. Coke shot a glance around the stone walk across the men. Now Bob Hearns had appeared back behind the others. Hearns' hand was on his holstered pistol just like everyone else's, but Coke knew it was for a different reason. The message in Hearns' eyes was clear. One move from Coke and the killing would start. Coke cut his glance to Kate McCorkle, seeing Rance Macklenburg's pistol rise slowly and cock. A strange look coming into Macklenburg's face.
All right, I'll hand it over. Soon as I see the Mexican get around the side of the building.
That would be giving up my advantage, Coke.
Then you and I are gonna die together, Priest.
Wait. Help him up, Joe. Run him away from here.
But, boss, you told me I could be the one.
Damn it to hell, Joe! Do like I tell you! I learned what I wanted to know! Get the Mexican out of here!
Coke waited, watching until Lorenzo Herrera staggered out of sight around the far corner of the building. Then he eased his hand off the rifle stock, lowered it, and held it out to J.T. Priest. Priest snatched it and looked it over.
Hell of a fighting weapon, Coke. How many people have ever handled this besides you?
Just you, Priest.
Priest held the rifle down at his side, then held his palm flat out to Coke.
Now, lift that pistol under your arm with one finger and give it over.
When Coke had given up his pistol, Lewis Pryor stepped in beside Priest.
I am damn disappointed in you, Coke.
So am I. Nobody but a lawman would have stepped forward and acted that way.
Old habits are hard to break.
What did you care if we shot that boy?
If you've got to ask a thing like that, Priest, there's no answer you could understand.
Oh, I get it. It's some sort of morality question, I suppose.
Well, I never did believe in morality. Always thought it was just some sort of rumor. I hate shooting a man with his own rifle, but I'm sure you understand.
That rifle will never kill me. It wouldn't know how.
Well, let's just give it a try and see. It's probably something we both like to know.
And no, don't shoot, JT. It wasn't his fault. I made him do it.
Did you now?
She never made me do a thing, Priest.
Shut up, Jake. It's the truth, JT. I made him do it. I've been leading him on.
Oh, I see. He just happened to have fallen head over heels for you on the trail coming here? Sorry, Kate. There's more to it than that. She tried. You have to give her that.
No, JT, it's true. But it wasn't something that started on the way here. Jake and I were lovers back in Fort Smith. He left there because of me. When I broke off with him, he quit his job. We just happened to run into him when Lambertus and Roundhouse Eddie brought me with them.
She's lying, Priest. I saw her in town with Sims, that was all. We never spoke three words to one another until we met on the trail. Do whatever you need to. Leave her out of it.
Jake, you fool. Can't you see it, JT? He'll do anything to protect me. He's crazy. That's why I ended it with him. He got too serious, followed me everywhere I went. I couldn't breathe. Last night, he came to the room and I begged him to get something and cut the handcuffs loose, but he wouldn't do it.
She must be telling the truth. You poor sorry bastard, you. Nobody would stand here and put their life up for a woman unless he's a love-struck fool. It's just as well I put you out of your misery.
Out of the corner of his eye, Coke saw Bob Hearns' hand start up from his holster.
Riders coming, boss!
Damn, now what?
Priest turned to see the column of Federales as they swept in quickly and circled the front of La Rosa Negra. Beside the tall Federalist captain sat Juan Herrera on a big chestnut barb with his wife, Soledad. The men spread out as best they could, given the close quarters the Federales' horsemen held them to. There were a dozen mounted soldiers, each of them with his rifle drawn and ready, pointing down at Priest's men. In spite of the tension and the violent confrontation about to erupt, the tall Federale craned his neck and looked all around La Rosa Negra Posada at the broken furniture, broken windows, and broken bottles and glass strewn about. He looked down across the faces of the men. Then he settled his gaze on J.T. Priest, Jake, Coke, and Kate McCorkle. Taking note of the handcuff hanging from Kate's wrist, his question went to her.
What is the trouble here?
Trouble? There's no trouble here, Captain.
I see. Señor Herrera and his wife have registered a complaint in Sonora. They say you men have destroyed their inn and made several threats against their personage. Now I must ask you to lay down your weapons and come with me.
No one made any attempt to lay down his weapon. And from the look on the men's faces, it didn't seem likely that they were going to.
What has been going on out here? The constable in Sonora said one of you men told him you are the dreaded Los Pistoleros.
Los Pistoleros? My goodness, Captain! Do we look like gunmen to you? I'm afraid your constable must have misunderstood. His English is probably not good. But no, we're not Los Pistoleros. I'm down here looking around at business opportunities.
Corporal, prepare to fire at my command.
Hold on, Captain. I'm afraid you've just arrived at an awkward time, but let me assure you that these men all follow my orders. If you came riding in here looking for...
Thank God you've arrived, Captain. My husband and I came here to enjoy the desert air and celebrate our marriage, but then this man...
Kate pointed a finger in the direction of both Priest and Coke.
This man, who used to be my fiancé, tracked us here and tried to force me to go with him. He even stole my husband's rifle.
Coke took on a strange, bemused look, seeing Kate McCorkle step over to J.T. Priest and slip her arm into his.
We'll gladly make payment for any damages we've done here, and of course, we apologize for any trouble we've caused the Herrera family. But if anybody here should go to jail, it's this man.
Kate's finger pointed at Jake Coke. Coke reeled in surprise, staring at her, stunned for a second. Then he turned to face the captain.
She's lying!
This is not her husband. She's only saying that to protect me.
The captain looked puzzled.
See? Hear how he talks? He's crazy. He can't get it in his head that my husband and I are happily married. That we came down here to...
Enough of this!
Considering the gravity of the situation, he turned to Juan and Soledad Herrera on the horse to the right.
Are you willing to let these men make settlement for the damages they have done?
See, provided they leave afterwards and never return.
Are you willing to come to Sonora and bring charges against this man?
No.
Yes, of course.
Which is it, yes or no?
The answer is yes, Captain. As soon as I freshen up, I'll gladly ride in and file whatever charges it takes to get this man out of our lives. Right, dear? It's the best you're gonna get.
Priest only nodded up at the captain with a sullen expression.
Corporal Ramirez, get up here.
Si, Capitan Lima.
Arrest this man. Send him on ahead to Sonora with two guards. We will stay here and see to it these people are compensated for their losses.
Si, Capitan.
Two soldiers stepped down from their saddles and over to Jake Coke. As they grabbed Coke's arms, Coke gave a quick glance toward the Cacto Caído plant, knowing the dog was there and knowing that the dog would make a move if he wasn't stopped.
Easy, Buster, no!
See? He's out of his mind.
Perhaps a few days in our jail will clear his mind. But you must come and prefer charges, or else he will be released. Then your trouble with him will start all over.
Oh, don't worry, Captain. I'll be there shortly.
Can I at least ride my own horse?
No. It is not that far. You can walk.
The two soldiers pushed him forward. In a moment, the two soldiers were out of sight, rounding a turn in the trail toward Sonora. Jake Coke walked in front of him, his shoulders slumped and his head bowed. A few hundred yards along the trail, Coke looked over to a stretch of brush.
Buster, no, no!
The two soldiers looked at each other. One shrugged and tapped a finger to his temple. The other soldier nodded in agreement.
Those men back there, I think they are Los Pistoleros. I think they lied to the captain.
Si, I think so too. The captain is no fool. He knows what they are. He only goes along with it to keep from spilling blood. He will chase them back toward the border and be rid of them.
But they will come back, those gringos.
Si, they will come back. They always do.
Outside La Rosa Negra Posada, the tension had lessened even more, now that a sum of money had been agreed to between Juan Herrera and J.T. Priest. 10 yards away, Bo Roman saw the embarrassed look on Priest's sweaty face.
This whole damn thing has made Pryor and us look bad. I reckon you was right about Mr. Jake Coke all along, Hearns.
Why? Just because the man fell for a pretty woman? Hell, I'd like to fall for her myself for an hour or two.
Well, I hope for God you didn't fall for that story, Tommy.
Kendall only shrugged.
Soon as these soldiers clear out of here, I'm taking his horse, if nobody's got any objections. I always wanted a big dapple gray.
You take it, but it'll be hell to pay if he ever shows up and sees you with it.
I'll worry about that.
The three of them stood watching Rance Mecklenburg count sweaty money into J.T. Priest's hand. Mecklenburg had taken off his right boot where he carried his cash and now stood with his toe showing through his ragged sock. Captain Lima stood with Juan Herrera, watching as Priest turned to Juan and laid the money in his hand. The soldiers still sat atop their horses, their rifles poised toward the gunman.
You are satisfied with this amount?
Si.
Juan Herrera folded the money and put it inside his shirt.
It will take many days to put our inn back in order, but this will help.
Very well.
The captain turned back to Kate McCorkle and J.T. Priest.
Now I demand that all of you leave this place and never return. Fortunately for all of you, no one has been physically injured. Had there been, you would all be brought to justice.
As Captain Lima spoke, some of his men turned their eyes to the bloody face of Lorenzo Herrera as he came staggering around the far corner.
Papa!
Juan Herrera turned to J.T. Priest with his fists balled. Captain Lima took a step back, appalled at the sight of Lorenzo Herrera as he fell forward to be caught by his father.
Lorenzo!
Oh, shit.
At the sound of sudden, steady gunfire erupting a mile behind them, the two soldiers jerked their horses around and looked back along the trail. One of them drew a pistol from his holster as he wheeled his horse back around toward Jake Coke. Coke threw his hands in the air. Then, the soldier spun his horse again and fell in behind the other soldier, both of them racing away back to join their column. Jake Coke dropped his hands and stood alone in the dust. Buster slipped from behind the stretch of brush and trotted over to him.
Good boy, Buster. Come on, let's get back there. See if there's anything left to say.
On the stone walk, Dick Witt had been the first to fall. Max Shepard lifted a soldier from his saddle with a .45 slug to his forehead. The young soldier's horse reared and fell back into two other horses, causing soldiers to spill from their saddles in a tangle of reins, stirrups, and horses' hooves.
Run, mamacita!
Run, Lorenzo!
J.T. Priest dropped Coke's rifle and grabbed Kate McCorkle, using her as a shield. Even in this situation, Priest could not resist the urge to put a bullet in Juan Herrera's back.
Spend that money in hell!
Two shots went wide, but the third lifted a tuft of hair on top of Juan's head. Juan followed his wife and son around the corner of the building. On the ground, Captain Lima had taken a bullet from J.T. Priest as the fight began, but he rolled across the sawed-off rifle where Priest had dropped it. He came up to a sitting position with it. He took down the Hubs brothers and wounded Joe Cherry. Now the captain was up on one knee, blood spewing freely from his chest. He aimed at Priest, but he held his shot, afraid of hitting Kate McCorkle.
Shoot! Damn it, shoot!
Captain Lima still hesitated. Captain Lima reeled backward, hit the ground, then forced himself over onto his side. Priest fell back into the arched doorway. Another shot hit the Mexican high in the shoulder. Max Shepard dove behind a long water trough beside the doorway. Bob Hearns ducked around the side of La Rosa Negra, circled the building, raced over to where his horse stood beside Jake Coke's dapple gray. He hurriedly gathered the reins to Jake Coke's horse, then leapt atop his own horse and gave it heel, sending it bolting away from the inn and speeding along the trail. Hearns came within a few feet of meeting the two soldiers who came back to join the fight. They didn't notice him as they slid their horses to a halt. They jumped down with their pistols drawn and ran forward. Corporal Ramirez made his way through three wounded soldiers who crawled hand over hand across the bloody ground. Bullets licked at his back as he dove behind a downed horse. Rance Mecklenburg jerked back a step, a rifle shot hitting him in the thigh, but he remained standing. He took down three soldiers and held three more pinned behind dead horses until his pistols both clicked on empty chambers.
Damn it to hell!
He dove sidelong as the three soldiers rose up as one from the ground.